Welcome to Advisor Radio from Horse's Mouth. I'm Sean Bailey, Editor-in-Chief, and today's segment is What's Working Now, where we interview advisors who've offered us some insights into tactics and activities that are helping them succeed. Our guest today is Kurt, an advisor from Wakefield, Mass. Kurt is going to talk to us about how he discovered his own fountain of youth at age 51. I'm all ears for this one especially. But before we do that, Kurt, welcome, and why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your business, how long you've been an advisor, where you started, the size of your business, all that sort of stuff.
Sean, good afternoon. Thanks very much for having me. I've been in the business now for 21 years. I manage about $40 million. That's by choice, and I choose to have a somewhat smaller practice than someone mm-hmm. who's been in the business as long as I have. Mm-hmm. I am married with two young children, ages 10 and 13, and I try and strike a balance between my family, my business, and you know, taking care of my health.
Right. Good. Okay. So, Kurt, when we asked advisors to tell us, you know, what worked particularly well for them in 2013, you gave us an unusual but intriguing answer. And but before we get right to that point about what it is that you told us, why don't you tell us a little bit about what was going on in your life, how things were before you realized you needed to make a particularly big change?
Well, I've always, tried to be as fit as I could. I became a vegetarian in 1987. I became a vegan in 2009. But even then, even working out 6 days a week, I was still, you know, gaining a little bit of weight. I was still getting tired after meals. I didn't have the kind of stamina I wanted to have in order to grow my business.
Mm-hmm.
And around my 51st birthday, I decided, I first became aware of going gluten-free from Novak Djokovic, who is, of course, the number two ranked tennis player in the world.
Right.
And he has had enormous success since going gluten-free. He's even written a book about it. It's called Serve to Win, for those who are interested.
Good.
But I tried going gluten-free, and within 4 days, I could tell that I had some sort of sensitivity to wheat, and even 4 days into this, I started feeling really terrific and energetic.
Really? Just 4 days?
Wow. Just 4 days without wheat in my diet, I started to feel a lot better. And I think for people in our business, you know, whether you want to grow your business, whether you want to maintain your business, particularly during periods of market volatility, the one thing you need more than anything else is stamina.
Right.
And having a diet that does not have wheat in it has provided me with greater stamina.
Yeah, yeah. That's interesting. So, I was just reading a book now called The One Thing, and the subtitle is The Surprising Simple Truth Behind Extraordinary Results. It's by Gary Keller, who's one of the founders of Keller Williams Real Estate. And he was pointing out how the brain uses 20% of all our energy. So, you know, that's a lot of energy being consumed by the brain. And, of course, I've always said that financial advisors are among the most, you know, information-overloaded people in the world, because you have to consider that, you know, every single day things happen in the world, though all the markets are moving, and as a consequence, every single thing within the holdings, the portfolios of all their clients is changing, and there's all these inputs about, you know, what's going on in the investment world, and then what are you doing to build your business, and there's all sorts of client inquiries, and it's just like, you know, it's an unbelievably challenging job that probably most of the public doesn't appreciate or understand. And maintaining concentration, focus, energy levels, good habits, exercise, all this stuff I think is really critical. And I was so pleased to see you mention this particular aspect of gluten-free, because it's given us finally an opportunity, I think, to start to talk more about this topic, and I hope we're going to do more in the future. But can you give us some more details about how you're, you know, what is this switching to gluten? What does this mean, you know, at a practical level in terms of your life? You mentioned before that we're vegan and vegetarian, or vegetarian and vegan, and so now you're gluten-free. Are you still vegetarian and vegan, or are you now taking in some steak and brown rice and things? Or no, I guess you wouldn't do brown rice, would you? Tell us about it. Tell us what we need to know.
Well, it's a great question. A client of mine who is a physician who's aware of my diet said, Kurt, if you had to give up one or the other, being a vegan or being gluten-free, what would you give up? And I would give up being vegan, because being gluten-free has done so much more for me. To your earlier points, you know, Djokovic in his book gives a 14-day menu, if you will, and he's not only giving the reader this for physical sharpness, it's also for mental sharpness as well. I'm trying to answer the other part of your question, and now I've forgotten it. Forgive me.
Well, I was just like, you know, so what does this mean at a practical level? Like, you know, well, take us, we're talking diet. You know, what are you eating for breakfast, and what did you used to eat, and what do you eat now, and how is that different? And take us through your day, basically.
Okay, great. You know, the big difference is when I get up every day now, not only do I feel much better mentally, I feel like I can climb Mount Everest in my bare feet.
Wow.
That's the biggest change. You know, and people, you know, I tell people that I'm gluten-free, and they immediately say, I can never do that because I have to give up, you know, bread, cereal, pasta, pizza, pancakes, etc. I want to make the point that that's not true. You can go to any major grocery store. Of course, Whole Foods is at the top of the list, and you can get gluten-free versions of all of these things. So going gluten-free isn't necessarily going on a diet, even though I think it's helpful for weight loss. It's certainly been helpful for me. As I mentioned to your associate, I'm down 18 pounds over the 3 months, and I have made no effort to lose weight. It just sort of falls away.
Wow. You mean like you've not also engaged in a particular exercise program or anything?
Other than the one I've always followed.
What you've always done.
Yes. And again, I didn't go into this with the goal of losing weight. It just sort of, you just sort of lose weight all by yourself just following this diet. Djokovic, of course, who's a world-class athlete, he lost 11 pounds going on to this diet. I mean, I don't want to call it a diet. It's not a diet.
Okay.
It's just removing wheat from your diet.
Right. But, okay, so then tell us, what do you have for breakfast?
Okay, for breakfast, I cut up fruit or strawberries and have gluten-free cereal in almond milk. I also have one of those, you know, those plastic things with a little metal ball inside of it. I have a scoop of it's vegan protein powder with orange juice and acai berry juice. That's my breakfast. For lunch, I generally have salad with sunflower seeds and dried cranberries, or I have, you know, quinoa and black beans and tofu, things like that. And finally, for dinner, I have either a base, salad is a base, or pasta is a base, or quinoa is a base, and I steam broccoli and saute mushrooms and add a lot of olive oil or tomato sauce. So that's sort of my diet, you know, each day.
Right. But I mean, you're not having that. Hey, are you like having that stuff every single? Are those the three meals that you eat over and over again, or it's got to be more wide?
No, there's more variety. There's more variety to it in that. And I'm very fortunate. They opened up a Whole Foods grocery store about half a mile from my office last fall, which has been very helpful.
Right.
So there's all kinds of. There's a lot of variation as to, you know, what the base is, what the vegetables are, and so on.
Right. Right. Now, there are gluten-free breads, is that true?
And absolutely.
And then there's gluten, you said it's gluten-free pasta, so you can still enjoy your pasta. And but now you're a vegetarian, so then you're not eating seafood or steak or any of those kinds of things that some people, I think, when they go gluten-free, are actually, you know, chowing down on some of that stuff with greater gusto than they might have in the past, I think.
Well, I there's nothing wrong with eating, you know, meat or seafood. I'm not here, you know, to be an evangelical about being a vegan. It's just
right.
It's just a choice that I make. But to your point, be eating steak, eating seafood, there's no gluten in those things.
Right, right.
So.
Right, yeah. So it is, I mean, I find it very interesting and just, you know, to add a personal angle for myself, a few years ago, I read, I'm a runner, but it was like always just like, you know, jogging, you know, 3-4 miles. And after a while, I began to realize, it's like, wait a second, it's like I'm barely breaking a sweat, you know, I need to get more serious about this. And as part of that, I was looking at a diet program written by a guy who actually is featured in, his last name is Furman, Dr. Furman, and he has this index of, you know, a ratings for fruits and vegetables that's like a 1 to 1,000. It's called his book is called Eat to Live. It's on the bestseller list. It's been there for,
yes,
for a few years.
Yes, I'm familiar with Dr. Furman.
And I have to say that particularly during a period of time about 3 years ago, decided to follow that diet, not strictly, but just to like, you know, okay, I'm going to stop having the bacon and egg sandwich for lunch or for breakfast, and just, you know, made some changes and did, you know, try to bring more fruits and vegetables into my diet. And I, and of course I was training very fairly hard as a runner as well. And I had 18 pounds just drop off me too. And even though I'm not training or running as hard as I was 3 years ago, it hasn't come back. And I'm more or less am, you know, following as a rough guideline, the Eat to Live diet. And so I certainly know, you know, the big surprise to see how quickly, you know, 18 pounds can just disappear practically overnight. It's kind of
yeah, and,
kind of
and you raise a great point here, Sean, because what I've learned about, you know, talking to people about this is everyone has to find their own path.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And whether it's going gluten-free or being a vegetarian or using the Eat to Live diet from Dr.
Mm-hmm.
Furman,
mm-hmm.
everyone has to find their own path out there. You know, just because I do things a certain way, it may not work as well for someone who does not have some amount of sensitivity to wheat.
Right, right, yeah. Yeah, and so tell us a little bit about what are your exercise habits? I'm interested in seeing, like, you know, give us the full picture of how you try to stay energized. Obviously, your diet is important, but it sounds like you're following exercise as well.
Yes, I stretch and do a variety of yoga poses 365
mm-hmm.
days a year. I mean,
mm-hmm.
staying flexible, particularly when you get to, you know, this stage of life, I think is critical.
Yep.
In addition to that, 3 days a week, I swim approximately 1,500 yards,
mm-hmm.
And I do intervals I swim for 30 minutes, which is approximately 1,500 yards for me.
Right.
And at the 5, 10, and 5, 15, and 25-minute marks, I'll do a 50-yard sprint in the pool.
Right, right.
The other 3 days a week, I ride my bike out, and I try and ride it outside. However, I haven't been able to do that as much here
right.
in this weather, but I certainly, you know, I use the indoor bikes at the local YMCA.
Right, right. Yeah, that interval training, I have to say, that's something I incorporated as well. With the first thing I started doing was I was taking my 3 or 4 mile runs that were just a breeze, and what I was doing was after a mile warm-up, I would press really hard for about 30 seconds, then lay off easy for 10 seconds and press hard again for 30 seconds. And I would do 8 of those going out, you know, one set of 8 going out, and then rest a little while and just go back to my normal pace, and then do another set coming back in on this out and back four mile thing. And that really does the intervals when you're doing exercise, the intervals I have found really does, I kind of feel like it really gets your blood flowing a lot more. You feel, you know, much more energized. During that period of time, I had my afternoon crashes just totally disappear, you know, totally disappear. But the combination of switching to the Furman diet and then integrating more interval work into my running really, really, you know, made a big difference.
I couldn't agree more. The intervals make all the difference in the world, and they take sort of a quote-unquote, you know, I hesitate to use the term lazy workout and make it a real workout.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's true. It's totally true. And I think more and more research is pointing to the fact that you know, the best exercise has to include you pushing it a little bit. And it's not really, you know. But they're also saying you don't have, it doesn't even have to be 30 minutes. It could be like 15 minutes. But if you did, you know, if you really got your heart going there and then take a rest and go again and take a rest, then you do it over a 15, 20-minute period. There's great benefits to be derived there.
Absolutely.
Your stretching is another critical thing because the producer of the show who's listening in, Doug, sits across from me, and he knows I've been talking about this a fair amount recently. It's like, you know, I'm 53, and getting up out of the chair sometimes in the morning after I come in from the commute, I sit down for 20 minutes, half an hour, and I stand up, and it's like, holy crap. You know, it's like a really tight in my hips and really feel like, you know, the stretching thing. I've got to pay a lot more attention to the stretching thing going forward. And, you know, as anybody gets older, keeping limber and loose is critical. And, you know, many of us have seen the elderly who ultimately tip into this this fragility phase where they go from having, you know, it seems like a normal gait to suddenly they're shuffling. And it's often a signal of the beginning of the end, in a way. And so, to me at least, being more limber and loose is, in addition to the diet and the exercises, something I want to pay more attention to going forward.
It's critical. And you know, in my view, you know, yoga is India's gift to the rest of the world. And
yeah.
There's a DVD out there. You can find it. It's called AM PM Yoga, and it's about 15-minute, very gentle yoga, a series of yoga poses by two very well-known people in the yoga world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I made it through the financial crisis doing the PM yoga thing
every night
because no matter how stressed out I was, once I did that, I could sleep like a baby.
Right. Right. Yeah. So you made the switch to the gluten-free diet sometime in 2013. Now, how long has it been?
It's in late October. So it's
late
been
October.
Just,
okay, so
just over 3 months.
Uh huh. Okay. And okay, is there anything specific you can say regarding, you know, how your, I mean, in addition to the higher level stuff about feeling more energized and stuff, but is there any other ways that's equating into, or how that translates into some specific action or results within your business?
It makes me want to take on more clients,
mm-hmm.
Because I don't feel like I'm going to get worn down like
mm-hmm.
I used to.
Mm-hmm.
It just in general makes me more eager to come to work and to get to work and to
right.
help people each day.
Right, right. So you feel that you didn't know that you had gluten sensitivity, but now in retrospect, all right, you think that was a sort of, you know, chronic condition that was actually keeping you from realizing your full potential?
That's absolutely true. I feel so good, I'm not even upset, Sean, that I ate wheat for the first 51 years of my life.
I can understand it. Yeah, I really can. So, well, can you give, by the way, for people who aren't sensitive to wheat, do you know or have any insight or heard anecdotes, like if you don't have gluten sensitivity, what would happen if you still gave up gluten? If you gave up gluten anyway?
Well, let me suggest another book. It's written by a cardiologist out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, called Wheat Belly.
Mm-hmm.
His name is William Davis. His book's been on the New York Times bestseller list now for about 9 months, and he's put over 2,000 of his at-risk patients on a gluten-free diet and has seen very, very remarkable results.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you don't have a wheat sensitivity
mm-hmm.
and you need to lose weight, you might consider trying going gluten-free for 10 to 14 days.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've even seen Dr. Furman on TV talk about, you know, try it for 10 or 14 days and then go out and eat a bagel or eat a donut and see how you feel.
And the implication being you're going to get some sort of spike and then a crash.
Well, or your stomach is going to hurt.
Or your stomach's going to hurt, really.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But I've always had sort of minor stomach problems, and now they've completely gone away.
Uh-huh. Huh. I know a friend of our family who we're talking to over the holidays has had chronic migraine for years, and she finally, just in the last 60 days, decided to give gluten-free a try. The headaches disappeared instantly, and I just saw her post on Facebook the other day. She was like celebrating her 60th day without a without a headache.
How wonderful!
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Davis's thesis is, you know, people have been eating wheat for centuries, but only about the time you and I were born, Sean, did the sort of the food scientists catch up to it and start messing up its DNA. And what Dr. Davis talks about, this is just on the back cover of his book, is if you eat two slices of wheat bread, it drives up your blood sugar more than if you ate two tablespoons of granulated sugar.
Hmm. Wow. Amazing.
Yeah.
So do you have any tips or insights you would offer anybody who's thinking of, maybe I should do this? So you said, go ahead and give it a try. Is there anything else in terms of tips on great gluten cookbooks? Or you've obviously mentioned Whole Foods a number of times, a great place to go to spend $40 and get one bag of groceries, but if it's a gluten diet that you need, that's the place to go.
I think if someone wanted to try this, they should try it for 10 to 14 days, and if there is a Whole Foods nearby, you could, go there and ask a staff member saying, I'm trying this diet. Can you show me where I can find good gluten-free versions of whatever I want to eat?
Whatever it is. Uh-huh. Right.
And again, after 10 or 14 days, depending on how you're feeling, again, go and eat something with wheat in it and see how you feel.
Right.
For my own self, I felt so good, I didn't even bother to do that.
Right.
But that's the kind of advice I'm seeing the Dr. Furmans and the Dr. Davises give. Again, I've never set foot on a medical school campus, so don't take my word for it.
Right. By the way, is chocolate gluten-free or?
In general, yes.
Yeah.
I eat dark chocolate every day.
Yeah. It's funny though. I was mentioning before how I kind of switched my diet. And I used to like eat chocolate at 3 o'clock every afternoon. I just had this like craving for it. And then when I got into modifying my diet and exercising more, one of the things I realized about 6 months ago, I had like a chocolate bar, this fantastic, 72% dark chocolate from Belgium that had been sitting on my desk for like 3 months, and I hadn't even picked it up. It's for some reason this craving for chocolate that I'd had for years and years seemed to have gone away. I still eat chocolate nonetheless, but...
You're a better man than I am.
I don't know. Maybe it was because I was always eating chocolate chip cookies or something, and it was like there's the gluten aspect of it or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anything. Kurt, thanks a bunch for talking to us. We really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure, and thanks for having me.
All right. You've been listening to Kurt, an advisor from Wakefield, Massachusetts, who's been telling us about what's working now for his business. My name is Sean Bailey, editor-in-chief at Horse's Mouth. Thanks for listening.
This Horse's Mouth presentation is offered specifically for financial advisors and may not be reproduced, broadcast, or distributed without permission from Horse's Mouth. Unauthorized use, reproduction, or distribution of this material is a violation of federal law and punishable by civil and criminal penalties.